It's Unsung Heroes Day here at the radio station. I am on the phone right now with Dr. Kate Bishop Williams, an epidemiologist at the Haldeman Norfolk Health Unit. Now, we can imagine that your role is very busy right now, but maybe we can just talk about the role of an epidemiologist. Can we just talk about what it was like pre-COVID-19, like what your initial tasks were?
A great question. So the tasks that an epidemiologist does varies quite dramatically based on the situations that we're living in. At any given time, pre-pandemic or outside of a pandemic, the roles and responsibilities of an epidemiologist locally would be to really provide evidence that can be used for intentional decision-making that reflects a responsibility to the community to justify our decisions based on what our local observations are. So that's on a variety of different health parameters. And in this case, because of the structure for health and social services here, it's actually a responsibility to both our health unit programming and our programming for social services. And that took form pre-pandemic in being the lead researcher for the community needs assessment in 2019.
When the pandemic hit, can you even put in words just how much that affected your role at the health unit?
Yeah, absolutely. The changes are immediate in the role of an epidemiologist in a pandemic and are broad spectrum. I mean, the changes that we're looking at are going from something that is a novel infection that we've never seen before to being almost all-encompassing for all of the tasks that that happen in my regular day or in my regular week. In addition to trying to manage the parameters that we're always trying to monitor, we all of a sudden have all of these additional case parameters, and things are changing even just week to week as we watch for things like the mutations of interest and the variants of concern, monitoring for outbreaks. Now we've added in our vaccine program for COVID-19 vaccinations. So everything is constantly building and shifting, and the responsibilities for a data management perspective, as well as monitoring the spread of infection and the ways that we can maintain as much of a healthy population here as we possibly can, become the epicenter of what the epidemiology job really is. And how do we bring all of these bits of knowledge and all of this training and experience together? One thing that's important to recognize about epidemiology is that it is, in fact, the study of epidemics, or in this case, pandemics. And so it's one of the only fields that's intentionally designed to try and look at a public health perspective of our entire community, where we're taking all of our training into consideration for the management of outbreaks, of cases, of community spread. And there's something really valuable about the way that we've considered all of these pieces together and how we manage things as a whole.
Now, for us regular Joes, seeing this pandemic come and all the stuff happen so rapidly, it was honestly a scary thing. I'm just wondering, from your standpoint, from that professional standpoint, to see the pandemic hit and evolve in real time, just what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I spent 10 years in university training for exactly this instance. Of course, I hoped that I wouldn't have to use that training at all, but certainly that I wouldn't have to use the training for pandemic response in the first year post-graduation or in those first couple of years post-graduation. The reality is that leading into a pandemic, and as we recognize the contagiousness of a novel virus, the reality is that we become aware of the long haul. And so we've known from the beginning that this was something we would need to monitor and stay on top of for quite some time. And as things shift and change, for example, with the variants of concern or the mutations of interest, we have to continually be reevaluating what is the best practice, what is the best way to keep our community safe, and how can we put that safety and that health of our community and that responsibility that we carry as individuals and as a team here, how can we put all of that at the forefront to really make sure that we're prepared to protect our community in the best way possible?
Now, you said there you have 10 years of schooling leading to a moment just like this, but when you put out information, all it takes is one person online without the background that you have to share something that they heard about or think is true, and it's almost looked at as a level argument in that environment. How do you handle that? These conspiracies that pop up and people saying that this stuff is wrong when you know factually it's not?
I think that's one of the challenges we face in any position where we are experts in our field. I think that we need to kindly and and gently approach a lot of these conversations where we can be looking for those principles of communication. What are the things that we share? We share the fact that we care about our community members. We care about their health, their safety, and all of those sorts of things. And we need to find those spots where we can build on those relationships and use that as our jumping off point to really make sure that we're having conversations that put the health and the priorities of our community at the forefront. And so when it comes to identifying those individuals who don't agree with me or don't agree with our practices as a health unit more broadly, I think the most important thing for us to remember is that the individuals in this building and across the health sector are making the decisions that they believe are for the very best interest of each individual in our community. And while we recognize that there are hurdles that have to be overcome, that truly there are never ill intentions in these decisions, and that we are really doing what we believe is in the best interest of individuals and in the community more broadly.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Kate. You can hear the other unsung heroes up on our website. That's norfolktoday.ca.